Hey guys, it's The Great Debates.
Woo! Yes!
I feel like I'm waking up from a long nap.
It's like Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Great Debates Studios. Gentlemen, I am not going to waste any time because I know no one else out there wants us to waste any time. I'm going to get right into it with a micro debate.
Yes.
And that debate is, with 3 minutes on the clock, Steve Healy taking the pro, cold soup is some bullshit.
This is one of those tops that I feel like I should just let it sit there and let the listeners inside themselves get angry just thinking about cold soup. It's complete bullshit. What's the best cold soup out there? Gazpacho. That's the only one that's like pops into your mind immediately when you think of cold soup. And gazpacho stinks. It's basically just like watered down salsa that for some reason you're eating with a spoon. It's worthless. Nobody likes it. The only reason anybody is like gets into gazpacho is to make a point or like kind of be a froofy weirdo about liking gazpacho, which, okay, it has its place there, but it's 100% some bullshit. Cold soup is bullshit. I hate it. Get it off my plate and out of my life.
Gazpacho is not just... what was the word you used?
Froofy, yeah.
Donut, damn it! You gotta be quiet. Even Donut is upset about...
Donut's upset about cold soup.
What attack you're taking... No. She's upset that you would, first of all, limit the cold soup conversation to simply gazpacho. I mean, have you ever had like a beautiful chilled cold cucumber soup
on a warm
summer day?
That's a juice.
Absolutely not
Why am I eating this juice with a spoon? Sorry, interrupting your...
You know what? So what if it is a juice? What's wrong with juice? And so what's wrong with eating it with a spoon? Even if it's... First of all, it is dramatically different than just having juice. But even if it weren't, like, just the idea of, like, fresh cucumber juice is also fantastic and refreshing. Cold soup has a place in our culinary tapestry of whatever.
The juice is fine. I have no problem with juice. The bullshit element enters when you pour the juice into a bowl and make me eat it with a spoon.
Well,
that is some bullshit. It's messing with juice. It's messing with my head. It's completely obscene.
Well, God forbid that when you sit down to have an interesting culinary experience, one of the things that might happen is that your expectations
are played
with.
The only reason cold soup is even in the mix is to deliberately enjoy it in a way that you're not traditionally used to,
and that the vessel that it's served in might be more horizontal than vertical, and your mind might be so thrown and unwilling to deal with that you have to call it bullshit. What sort of closed-minded attitude is that to say that categorically everything, any kind of soup, any taste, any temperature below whatever 45 degrees is bullshit?
Cold soup is exactly like a guy who wears like a purple checkered blazer to a party because it's like kind of interesting and weird. That's the only reason cold soup is even in the mix, to be weird, to be interesting.
It's an act of aggression by the chef to you. I actually think there's a certain amount of people out there who, when they hear cold soup, what they're thinking is like, like late 90s fixed price, like third course.
Yeah,
that
agrees.
It's like
bullshit.
A hacky move.
Yeah,
but both things can't be true. It can't also be the move. It can't be both.
Can be true.
But the real truth about cold soup is that it's like one of the most traditional, like historical dishes that people could serve. It has a place as a soul food, believe it or not.
Soul food, you can't consider soul food. That was came after the buzzer.
I'm not thinking about soul food. So here's the thing. 30 seconds ago, I was definitely going with Dave. Mm. And I don't think that it's changed, so I think I'm going with Dave.
What? How did Dave make any kind of case?
He made the case
that... Did you listen to me?
Yeah,
to what I say.
Healy's bummed that he didn't win the first one out the gates.
Of course.
Well, it was an easy top, I thought,
to
win. It
was a solid layup. I feel like I shouldn't have said anything, and just people would have been angry about just thinking about it.
If you hadn't said anything, I would not have had time to think of a second cold soup. And I would have been like, gazpacho's not bad.
Guys, I know we want to get into Host Chef, but I got to tell you, we're not in it yet.
Oh, okay. Whoa.
We've taken so much time off. Everybody's so hungry for debates.
Oh, that's great.
I'm going to let us do one more micro debate.
Oh, I love this.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Steve Healy taking the pro. 3 minutes on the clock. FedEx is cooler than UPS.
Logo, color scheme, reliability. the smoothness of those FedEx packing envelopes. It's all there for you. What more do you want a delivery company? The film Castaway? I mean, FedEx has just got it all. He works for FedEx in Castaway.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Think of FedEx. What is like their deal, their thing? On time. Get it done. When you think of UPS, it's like the brown trucks. Like UPS, you can kind of get them confused with the USPS, the Postal Service. It's just a mess over there. They've got those big lumbering trucks from the 50s. Their uniforms are brown and kind of gross. FedEx is just a tight ship. You go into a Kinko's, you get an envelope, you seal it up, you send it. You can trust that it's going to be there the next day. FedEx.
I mean, as usual, we have a debate about coolness, and you just totally misunderstand what it is to be cool. They have perfect logistics. They get there on time. They're a tight-run ship. That's what's cool. You don't get it, dude. UPS is cool. UPS is for the man. Brown and yellow is a cooler color scheme than orange and purple. UPS is cooler than their brick-and-mortar FedEx Kinko's things. Welcome to Kinko's. Can I help you design something? We have a workstation over here. We've got 13-cent color copies. Like, who wants that if you're trying to be cool? I'm not saying that it's better to be cool than it is to be not cool. But certainly, like, first of all, UPS truck has, like, it's been around longer. It's got nostalgia built in. It's got your youth built in, which is always a cool factor. FedEx has a constant sort of like, first of all, they're always changing what exactly their corporate mission is. They used to just be shipping things. Now they teamed up with Kinko's, which is about as uncool as a company can be. Like, what if you, it, like, what's a cooler, I don't know, like, even if I just had to dress as one, I'd rather wear a UPS outfit than a FedEx outfit. That's cooler.
Okay, this...
Like, dependability and reliability isn't what's cool. The UPS brand is, like, a little bit off of what it is to be, like, a modern, sleek corporation. And that's what's cool about it.
The strongest thing about what you did there in the debate is making a nerd voice. That was good, and it's compelling, but you didn't really offer anything. The fact is that FedEx is a tight operation, and tight operations that get things done are always cool.
Being sloppy and lazy of taking whatever I just said and then telling me you didn't say anything, even though I made like four separate points.
There was no substance to what you did except making a nerd voice, which I agree is a powerful argument.
I said you misunderstood what coolness is.
You mentioned nostalgia.
I said, yeah.
You said it was linked to your youth, and then you'd rather wear a UPS uniform. But even that is like, it's lame. That's why you'd want to wear a UPS uniform, because it's lame and dorky and from the 50s.
Lame is cool, dude. Lame is cooler than like technically efficient. Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Words have no meaning when you're saying lame is cool. Lame and cool are opposite.
Well, again, brown and yellow, I think, is a cooler color scheme. That, like, I think if you ask like cool people, what would better represent their life? It would be UPS and not FedEx.
Dave, the buzzer, when it begins,
I don't care about the buzzer
to sound,
anymore, man.
That means it's the end of the debate, and what we want to hear is three chimes of the buzzer, and then we all kind of know that there's a solemn end to the deliberations, and then I will try to see if I have an opinion on who won. I'm going with Steve here, and I'll tell you why.
Makeup call.
I was, in my mind, I was visualizing the words, the big lumbering UPS truck, he said that, and then so he wins.
Oh my God. A UPS truck is like the least cool vehicle on the road.
But
it's just
how is
awful.
It less cool
it's like
than a FedEx truck.
A lame ass box that you can see the guy like working.
Man,
the crank.
I didn't
the argument that I was hoping would come up is that when in the end of Bowfinger, when he's finally like got an inside track in Hollywood and like the Star Wars theme plays, and what comes around the corner, it's not a UPS truck, it's the FedEx truck, and that's a mark that he's made it in Hollywood. Mm.
I think Bowfinger is a cooler movie than Castaway.
Ooh, that's
Don't
interesting.
You think?
I think so, just because it has black people in it.
Okay.
Castaway is an all-white movie, it's not cool.
Well, I mean, I guess there's really only like one person in it for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But you're right, I mean, sure. Even Wilson is white.
Mm.
Isn't Eddie Murphy's in Bowfinger? That's cooler than Castaway.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, no one's arguing with you, and also, I don't. No one wants to take your side. It was a weird point to make. But sure.
That's pretty common with my opinions that no one is arguing or taking my side. I often nail that spectrum of opinion. What? I guess.
It's a cool place to land.
Yeah, if I were like an op-ed writer in the New York Times, like you'd read my column and be like, okay.
You'd get no letters to the editor for or against. People would just be like,
sure.
Oh, man, it's good to be back in the debate room.
It feels nice. Zone.
I'm sorry about Donut going crazy, man. That wasn't cool. And Medina, thank you for running to get her.
I think this is a good role for me during the debates to hold Donut.
I mean, for our listeners right now, Donut is just chilling in Medina's arms like a little babe. And a little adorable. Lamb.
Are you practicing for how you're going to hold your child?
Yeah, I'm practicing.
Oh, hell yeah. We've got a
little child coming very soon.
Amazing. Amazing.
In a matter of weeks.
Yeah, baby.
What kinds of adjustments or changes are you anticipating?
We got the bassinet going. Yeah, we're preparing to not get any sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing.
Well, how do you prepare to not get any sleep?
I don't know. You just kind of like mentally get yourself ready.
You brace yourself.
Exactly. You give into it. You plan to take some time off of work.
Mm.
You know.
Do you find that your debates are different? Like your home debates.
Are you kind of weighing our debates more in your role
than I father
to father, be? Yeah, like just mediator role.
I think being a father will only strengthen your performance and your role.
And
as
vice
a
versa.
Mediator.
I think the role of the moderator has been good training for what I'll be my role as a father.
The
for
role
sure.
Moderating is such an important part of fatherhood.
Indeed. I think it is,
to
right?
Bring moderation, to moderate.
Yeah.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Mm.
Well, I guess this is host chat.
This is a true host chat. I haven't prepared anything.
Oh,
we're
interesting.
Just chatting.
Wow, we're just chatting.
The host are chatting.
Oh, natural.
Have you guys been up to?
We haven't had a lot of time to prepare for this one, so it makes sense.
Well, let's check in. Where's everybody been? What are you up to on your various projects?
People don't want to hear that.
Sure they
do.
They love this.
Well, you just heard from me, so.
Yeah, Dave.
I mean, I have very little of interest to check in on. You know, look, we finished season 3 of Love on Netflix.
Congrats. When can I look for that?
That's exciting.
Sorry? When can I look for that?
I think it's going to be on in like March. And so we're finishing up editing right now. And it's like got a lot of super funny guest stars. And the stories are very cool. And it's going to be cool.
Very nice.
And other than that, it's been pretty chill around here.
I saw that Esther met Taylor Swift. That's cool.
Well, that was the big news in this household.
That's pretty cool.
That's for sure. Yeah. She was in New York and made it over to the SNL party.
That's great.
Yeah. That was cool.
Mm. Neat.
I don't know. Healy, what's up with you?
I'm working on Veep, man.
Oh, that's not the headline.
Come
what's
on.
What's the headline?
Headline rhymes with working on Veep.
Working on Veep. Oh, I bought a Jeep.
Healy bought a Jeep.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I bought a Jeep Wrangler to take into the desert.
Yeah.
That's
I'm getting
cool.
My desert on.
Yeah, you are.
In a big way.
Do you find sand in your car now in a way that you didn't before?
A little bit, yeah. Sand on my car.
Yeah,
the
perpetual
car is
kind of sand.
Yeah, sand and dust. And
I don't know if the listeners know, you have a little place out in the desert.
In the deep desert, yeah.
The deep desert.
Would you call it off the grid?
It is 100% off the grid, yeah.
Wow.
It's not connected to the grid.
Do you use electricity that's generated by the sun there?
The sun's power fuels everything.
Wow.
The sun hits some solar panels that shoots electrons that charge up the batteries that run my refrigerator and my lights.
Wow.
I'm so gung-ho for solar power now. Everybody needs to have solar power. When you fly into Los Angeles, it should look like a huge mirror.
Right.
And all that power should be the sun's power instead of burning oils we find in the earth. What a crazy method.
What a crazy difficult method.
It's like whale oil.
The sun is right up there.
Yeah, the sun is, you're warm because of the sun.
Mm.
Put that to work. That's energy coming from the biggest power plant in our solar system for sure.
That's the problem, is that the sun just doesn't have a good marketing team. I think you're on to something.
I'm gonna be vouching for the sun, pounding the pavement for the sun.
You're vouching for the sun.
I vouch for the sun.
Does the sun need you to... I mean, it doesn't have a good marketing team, but it does need you to vouch for it.
The sun is so awesome. It's just like a huge explosion going on all the time.
A lot of explosions.
Very cool.
So that's what's going on with Healy.
Thinking about the sun.
Guys, I hate to do this, but I got to get us into another debate.
Okay, no, cool. I think that's great.
All right.
It's high time for that to happen.
Hey. This one's a main.
Mm. Okay.
Healy taking the pro.
Okay.
Here's your top.
Yes.
Flo from Progressive is a more recognizable comedy character than the Blues Brothers.
I'm sorry, the Blues Brothers, but you had your time, your moment. It was probably around 1985. I don't know. I don't even know when the Blues Brothers came out. I've never got it with the Blues Brothers. I don't really like the Blues Brothers. The movie, if I ever saw it, it didn't leave much of an impression on me. I mean, I get it. They're playing the harmonica. It's kind of fun. But at this point in time, it's a cultural appropriation. It's kind of weird. It's not funny. The original guys, one of them is dead and the other one is very old. Flo, on the other hand, is on TV. Anytime you watch a sporting event, anytime you watch any television event of significance, you're going to see some Flo. She is sparkly. She's fun. You know her the second you see her. You know what she represents. You know her vibe, positivity, young woman who's helping you out with your insurance or whatever. That is Flo. Close your eyes. You can picture Flo. You know where she's at. We've gone on a journey with her over years. The longevity of Flo alone smokes the Blues Brothers. So I think the Blues Brothers, you know, they're a classic for sure, but it's time to put them where they belong in the comedy, old comedy Hall of Fame, while Flo continues to exist and be recognizable to the young people of America.
You done?
Yeah.
Your opening statement?
Yeah, man.
All right. It's an interesting case of demographics because this is one of the... Here's.
Oh, I'm so bored.
I don't care. I don't care. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to win. Listen,
God.
People who grew up with the Blues Brothers still know who the Blues Brothers are. That same group of people does not latch on to Flo from Progressive. They probably would be like, oh yeah, the insurance lady, but they wouldn't recognize her as a character because they're older. It doesn't mean anything to them. I'm talking about people who are like basically 40 and older. People younger than 40 don't watch TV. They skip through commercials. They don't have brand awareness. They don't like, Flo isn't like relevant and funny to them. You may see her as like an occasional Halloween costume. And yeah, like if you're watching sports, you're going to see a Progressive ad. But actually, you said that you know her right away. Well, in fact, one of the things Progressive is doing is using the same actress now in different roles. They're intentionally trying to disguise Flo from being Flo.
Because Flo attack. I love that.
One of the other points, just to destroy your argument a little further.
Wait. Can you tell me more about the Flo as other characters?
Yeah, they do sort of like a clump style thing where Flo, the actress who plays Flo, has dinner with like a bunch of...
Right, but that is Flo and her family.
No,
that's a riff on Flo.
No, yes, it is, but it's not Flo.
So Flo is so recognizable that you can now have like deviant Flos.
No, Flo is trying to be made less recognizable by Progressive because Flo has become too uninteresting as a character.
Too recognized.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't say recognized. I would say that like...
You've lost the debate, so why don't you just say something funny? Okay, well, you made this
ridiculous case that Flo has already beat the Blues Brothers in longevity, which is just absurd. The Blues Brothers started in the mid to late 70s or something and are actually still around today. Like Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi still get together, and John Goodman probably jumps on stage once in a while, and they still are the Blues Brothers. There was a movie called Blues Brothers 2000. That came out like 22 years or more after the Blues Brothers started. Flo's only been around for like, I don't know, 8 years or something. So you're not allowed on the debate to just like spew out things that you say are facts when they're just provable as untrue, and I'd appreciate some adherence to the truth as we move this debate forward about Flo and the Blues Brothers. And I think we're into free skate.
Oh yeah, this is a free skate period. I mean, when you won the debate, there's no point in talking anymore. So
Keely, you can't just do that.
Of course I can.
A
couple points you made. Okay,
yes,
one thing
ahead.
You said. You basically your argument of resting on old people. Sure, fine, whatever. Old people remember the Blues Brothers the way someday we'll remember Flo and think of it as an iconic thing from our youth. But, you know, times change.
I mean, the idea that we'll remember Flo the way people remember the Blues Brothers, you seem to forget that actually, hold on a second.
Someday there will be a new Flo, and at that point we can argue about whether, you know, Dvorak is more recognizable than Flo.
This is important.
Dvorak will be by then.
This is important. In the late 70s, when the Blues Brothers first appeared on Saturday Night Live, they were a cultural phenomenon, the likes of which you and I cannot truly appreciate. It was the kind of thing where it just doesn't exist anymore.
You know, Mickey Mouse was like that.
Everyone knows who the Blues Brothers
are. Everyone who's 80 knows the Little Rascals. It doesn't matter. Times have changed. People in America are under 40, and those people identify with Flo, who's on commercials during every Super Bowl, every playoff game, every basketball game.
A lot of them also recognize the Blues Brothers instantly from either having seen the movies, or from their parents, or from seeing them at the House of Blues, or from reading Dan Aykroyd's Wikipedia page or whatever.
There's nothing from, young people watching love YouTube. More than reading Dan Aykroyd's Wikipedia page.
Young people
they're out there. Millennials they can't do anything except take Molly and read Dan Aykroyd's Wikipedia page.
Well, I don't think they're sitting around watching Flo ads.
They watch
for
the NBA and they see Flo. They watch the NFL and they see Flo. It happens. It's part of life. Flo is out there. Flo is in the mix. As you said, Halloween costumes. I didn't even think of that. But you go to any Halloween party in America as Flo, everybody's going to know who you are.
I totally disagree.
You go to the Blues Brothers to be like, okay, Blues Brothers.
Well, they'd be like, that's lame. The Blues Brothers have always been lame. Nobody likes the Blues Brothers. Why would you dress
that
like that?
That's a lot of reasons not to wear Blues Brothers costume.
Well, it doesn't make them less recognized just because, that was one of the things he said. Was I never got the Blues Brothers. I was I think they're stupid, which so do I, so does most people I know, but that doesn't make them less recognizable. In fact, this is something we haven't talked about. The Blues Brothers are more, I have a look, have a uniform that
so
Flo
does Flo.
Flo does
Flo
not.
Has a haircut, she has a headband.
She does
you
not
know
have
exactly
haircut.
What
She's
Flo looks like.
That's totally untrue. If you went, in fact, I bet you that since we're talking about Halloween costumes.
Flo wears white, she has a certain kind of haircut, she has a headband.
She wears white.
Yeah.
That's not a uniform. And she doesn't have a certain kind of haircut. She's had different haircuts throughout the ad campaign.
That's because she's so recognizable. You can play with Flo at this point. You can riff on Flo.
Ask yourself this. Can you go to a Halloween costume dressed as Flo without something that says either progressive or Flo on it? I don't think you can.
Yeah, that's part of the Flo vibe, but you can't go as a Blues Brothers without a hat and sunglasses.
No, I'm saying if you wear a Flo costume that doesn't have a name tag that says Flo, people will not
that's
know.
That's part of
know.
Flo. That's what Flo wears in the commercials.
No, she doesn't.
That's what Flo
I don't
is
think
up
she
to.
Does.
She's definitely wearing
not
a name tag
that
says Flo in a lot of the commercials.
That if you have to put a button on your chest that says this is who I am, then you're less recognizable than the goddamn
no,
Blues
disagree.
Brothers.
That's part of
sunglasses,
her look.
Hat, black tie, black suit. That's a look. I don't think it's cool. I don't love it, but it's recognizable.
It
AF.
Was a look in 1990, 1985.
Still
it's just gone. It's a lingering thing of the past. It's drifting away into the mists of time. Flo just gets more and more intense and interesting. The character is expanding.
We're not talking about where we're going to be 20 years from now. At this point in time, there's, I would say, 180 million Americans who instantly recognize the Blues Brothers because
Same
they know what they are.
For Flo.
It's not true. Young people don't fucking watch TV. They don't care about Flo. I don't think young people could say what her name is. Teely, are you done talking about
I'm
Flo?
I'm done, yeah.
Man, Medina, I don't know. I guess we
I like that
up.
You got worked up. I mean, it seemed
like
you're getting really
mad. I do like
that
you got worked up at the end.
Your level of anger is so interestingly, it's negative
correlated
to how
with,
important the topic is.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
that's
with,
true.
And with it positively correlated with your, you know, your wins.
Do you think when Dave gets angry, he's winning?
I think there's more, the better stuff comes out when Dave's angry.
That's interesting. That's true. My parents don't like it when I get angry on the debates.
They don't.
But I don't think, see, the thing is, I don't think I'm getting angry. I'm not mad at you.
Of course not. I'm like you're getting a tiny bit mad.
You're getting excited.
Yeah, maybe a little.
A little exasperated, maybe?
Yeah, exasperated.
Guys, wow, what a good time it is to debate and to listen to you to debate and to imagine our listeners listening to you to debate.
Well, who won, Medina?
I think Healy won.
It was a tough top. It was a tough top. I think we need to have handicapped tops.
How would that work?
Just Medina spots you, say, 10%.
Well, sometimes I do, if the top is too easy, I often, the first top that we had
Cold Soup
was too easy to win, and so it was a higher bar for you to.
I think you do, as a moderator, love an underdog, as a scrappy
sure,
fight for an underdog
a
side.
Fight for an underdog.
That gets a lot of respect from you,
of course,
as it should. Hey guys, tweet at us, email us.
Hey, we're Great Debates 69 everywhere you want to look. And we love to hear from you. We got a big pile of great tops that came in during the hiatus that we're going to be sifting through as we kind of dig to the bottom of the Great Debates mailbag in search of topics.
Hey, shout out to some lovely gals who sent me a photo of themselves wearing Great Debates tees by San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, really cool. All if you have pics in your Great Debates clothes, fire away.
Okay, guys, really enjoyed this one. Really enjoy all of them, to be honest. Really psyched to be back in the studio.
It's just good to see you guys again.
Yeah.
That's real nice.
And we'll see you next week on The Great Debates. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.